Welcome to Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling. My name is Pat Poling. I'm the founder and CEO of Mara Poling. And I want to thank you for joining us for the beginning of a four-part series on the building blocks to successful returns in multifamily real estate. For those of you that are passive investors, either with Mara Poling or with other sponsors out there, this is an opportunity to learn more about the key areas that at least we focus on and that I think most sponsors do. And for those of you that are building your own portfolio or preparing to take a step in that direction, these are some ideas that you can use as you're building your strategic plans and operating your assets for success. So that's what we're going to talk about this week. As always, if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to shoot me an email, pat@marapoling.com. I would strongly encourage you, swing by the Learning Center at marapoling.com. We got lots of great content there. The two most recent episodes that we've had from our webinar series on underwriting and on investing with your retirement account are available on the Multifamily Real Estate channel that you'll find at the Learning Center. And you can register for our next webinar, which is coming up on Tuesday, May 28th, which is about diversified portfolios and how putting some multifamily real estate in your portfolio can increase the performance, stability, reliability, and overall success of your investment portfolio. So please don't hesitate to register for that. Keep in mind, when you register for a session, even if you're not able to attend, you'll get advanced access to the recording of the session as well as copies of all the materials that we share. All right. So with that, let's get into what we want to talk about. Now, this is the beginning of a series. We're going to talk about these three building blocks today. And then we will, over the next several weeks, we'll take an episode and dive into each one of these in detail. So it's a four-part series. They won't be right in a row. We'll have a few other episodes that will come in along the way. So this might take us 5 or 6 weeks, something like that, to get all the way through, but we will. Okay, so let's start with the basic premise. We all, when we invest in any investment, multifamily certainly is included in that, we want the investment to be successful. And we talked a little while ago about how every dollar in an investment portfolio is not the same. So the success that we're talking about today is success that we think is first and foremost focused on the security and stability of an asset. That has a lot to do not just with the acquisition of the asset, but how it's operated over time. And then number two, optimizing cash returns and equity growth. That's the key that we want to focus on, is in that sequence. Tax advantages, absolutely, they're kind of the cherry on top, right? We don't use tax advantages to drive investment decisions. Now, that's our philosophy. You may have a different philosophy. You might be working with other sponsors that think about things differently. And that's great, because there's a lot of different ways to invest in multifamily. So just understand that's where we're coming at things today. When we think about successful returns, so we're looking at the security and stability, and then we're looking at cash and equity growth. It starts with all of it. Every last bit of it starts with net rental income, NRI. What is NRI? Because that's a term you may or may not have heard. NRI is the net revenue we receive from renting units. One of the ways maybe to help you understand net rental income is to tell you what it isn't. So net rental income does not include the revenue that we receive for reimbursements for utility expenses, right? So maybe the water bill for a property or trash that gets billed back to tenants. That is not in net rental income. nor are amenities that we might charge for, right? So if we have package lockers or valet trash, or if there's a common area maintenance fee, any of those kinds of things, those are not included in net rental income. Net rental income is based on just two items: rents and vacancy. It's simple, it's easy, it's just those two items. If you want net rental income to go up, you raise rents or you decrease vacancy. So let's talk about what I mean by rents. Let's define that a little bit more. So rents would include the rent that we charge today to existing tenants. It would include the rent we are charging in the marketplace that we're actually getting on new leases, right? So a vacant unit that we lease. Rents that we are getting when we renew an existing tenant lease, right? So how much of a increase and where do they land relative to the market? And the rents we would be able to charge because we've changed the unit type. And I don't mean that we've taken a two bedroom and made it a three bedroom. I've never seen anybody do that successfully. I know some that have tried, but we're talking about taking a unit that's a classic unit and taking it up to some new standard level, whether it's a sort of a basic standard unit or a unit with some degree of improvements or a fully improved unit. So those are the things that would drive rent and would move rent in a positive direction. On the vacancy side of the equation, when we say vacancy, we don't just mean the physical vacancy. That's certainly part of it. And with inside the vacancy equation, we like physically vacant units. That might sound a little odd, but our preference absolutely is to have tenants leave at the end of their lease period, and we have a physical vacancy, as opposed to a tenant that stops paying sometime during their tenancy, and I have an occupied unit that I'm not getting any revenue for because I can't lease that unit out. I've got to do something to make it vacant, or I've got to do something to get that tenant to get current, which after a certain period of time, and it's not too terribly long, becomes very unlikely. So there's physical vacancy, there's concessions, right? So the discounts we give to incent someone to move in. And then there's bad debt, which, as I said, are these situations where we have a tenant that can't pay rent and we end up with $1,000 or $2,000 of rent they owe us. And when they're evicted or when they leave on their own, we've got $2,000 on the books that we now have to write off. So if you want to move net rental income, you move rents, or you move vacancy, or you do both. And they're also connected to each other, right? It would make sense if you move rents aggressively, right? If we increased rents aggressively in any one or more of those areas I just described, you could have a spike in vacancy. And if you look at data, we were just doing an analysis on one of the properties the other day, and you can feel it and it's intuitive along the way. It's very instructive to take a look over time. And what you see is this property over the last 12 months, as rents moved, vacancy moved almost in lockstep with it. There really is a high degree of correlation, which again supports our thesis, and that is that we don't set rents, landlords don't set rents, property owners don't set rents, tenants do. And if rents are up, it's because the market is supporting higher rents. Tenants are saying these units are more valuable than what you've been charging. Conversely, if rents are down, then that's the market telling us that your units were overpriced in the marketplace and they were worth somewhat less than what we had been pricing them at. So we're going to have a session. It'll be the first in the next three parts of the series where we're going to dive into NRI in the more detail. We'll talk about each of those components a little bit more and the strategies that are involved in moving those. Because as I said, the big driver, the heart of the machine, is net rental income. Now, the next item is net operating income, NOI. If you have been listening to us for any length of time or joined us for webinars, you are going to know that we believe NOI is the key factor in determining the cash that we can distribute and the equity growth that we will experience. And that's true. Now, we're going to talk about cash a little bit more in a minute, but let's talk about NOI right now. So NOI, net operating income, it's pretty straightforward. It's the revenue that we generate, all the revenue, less the operating expenses, what it costs to operate the property. That gives us our net operating income. So again, to describe what it isn't, this isn't net operating income, does not include debt service, right? So a loan that we would have where we have either interest-only payments or amortizing payments to make is not included. Why not? Well, we want to be able to look at a property and determine its health relative to its performance, absent from how the debt might be structured, right? So if I own two properties and I have one property that's 60% levered at 5%, and I have another property that's now 50% levered at 3%. When I look at the bottom line numbers, I'm going to see some differences that are a function of how I've structured the debt, which has nothing to do with how I've been operating the property. So NOI does not include debt service. It does not include any capital reserve that we're required to give to a lender, which can vary from property to property and sometimes is zero. And it doesn't include any below the line fees. So if you're managing a property yourself or you're invested passively with a sponsor, there are potentially management fees that the sponsor charges, and this is where they would go. So NOI is pure revenue minus operating expense. Now it's total revenue. So that's NRI, right? The number we said was the first of the key factors and the real heart that drives the machine. So it's NRI plus that utility income, right? Getting reimbursed for the utilities that we pay for, that we simply pay for them because it's the way the infrastructure at the property is built. Typically, this would be water, gas, if there's gas at the property. There could also be, and generally is trash, pest, a few other things like that that are basically just billed through. And there's processes for doing that that we'll talk about when we get to that particular session. There's also other income. So other income is actual income, revenue that we generate that is an important part of getting to the bottom line that comes from amenities or other features that we would offer tenants that are separate from what they pay their rent for. Remember, rents inside NRI. So this would include things like package lockers, that our properties all have package lockers. Great amenity, tenants love them. In the world we live in today, where so many of us conduct our shopping transactions electronically, they're fantastic. The fee that is charged to a tenant is very modest. The cost to us is very small as well. We make a few dollars every month on every package locker, on every tenant that we deploy that on, which doesn't sound like much, but you take a 200 unit property and you make $3 or $4 a month and you make that every single month and you're talking about real money. So there's all those other income types of items that add up to revenue. And then we have operating expenses. And operating expenses are all the things that we spend money on running the property. And this is going to be things like payroll, right? So we have people that work at the property. We have to pay those nice folks. The property insurance, right? So the property is insured. So if something happens to the property or on the property, there's insurance that covers everyone, right? So tenants benefit from this from the standpoint of, if we had some storm damage, for example, and some units were damaged. Well, this pays to have those units repaired, which allows us to have tenants back in those, as an example. Taxes, property taxes. All of the tenants benefit from schools and fire and police and all the emergency responders, as well as all the other services that are provided by the local jurisdiction, and they get revenue to do that from property taxes. A lot of folks, tenants in particular, will think, oh, I'm a tenant, I don't have to pay property tax. And that's true, they don't get a tax bill and pay it directly. Tenants pay property tax, it's inside their rent. Property tax, if it's not the largest expense line item in operating expenses, it's going to be right there at the top alongside maybe payroll. In addition to that, you're going to have repairs and maintenance, right? So the money we spend going out and fixing things on the property, all the general little miscellaneous kind of stuff. We have a property management firm that runs the property. So we pay salaries for the people, and then we pay the property management firm, and that supports all the back office folks like the accountants and bookkeepers and all those great people. There's marketing expense, right, for having a spot on apartments.com and other digital presences, as well as any special events that we might do. And then there's those utility items, right? So we get reimbursed for them, but they're also an expense, and right, so they're there on both sides. So we're going to spend some time. This will be the second detailed session that we do again in a few weeks on net operating income. And we're going to go into each of those in more detail and talk about what our strategies are in terms of how we manage those. Now, I've said NOI is the key to how you understand equity growth and how you understand cash flow. And that is absolutely true. The way that NOI does that is twofold. NOI is what a buyer is buying when we sell an asset. They're not really buying our property. They're buying the operating income that we're generating today and that they can generate into the future. And one of the ways that they will price that is they might use a cap rate, right? So they might say this property's generating $600,000 in net operating income, and the market kind of looks like it's at a six cap. So based on that, this property's worth $10 million. And we'll do that too as a very rough starting point guesstimate about a property. The way you really determine what a property's worth is to underwrite it. And that ultimately gives you the right number. And if you'd like to learn more about that process, I'd encourage you to go watch the video on underwriting on the Multifamily Real Estate channel. So that's how it interacts with equity. But how does it drive cash? Well, the way it drives cash is this, is, and cash is the third element. Cash is a function of NOI, which NOI goes up or NOI goes down, that has an enormous impact on cash, but it's not the only impact, right? So there are some other cash expenses I mentioned, like debt service, like the management fee, like that reserve payment that goes to the lender. Those are in almost every instance, and for us, every instance, they are fixed, right? So when we put a loan in place, that's what our payment's going to be. And if there is a management fee, it's fixed in our instance. That's how ours are structured. And if there is a capital fee that we pay to the lender on a regular basis to build up a reserve, that is again fixed. So those are kind of fixed, which means we're not going to improve or have an impact on cash by doing anything with those. So that's not really part of the equation. What is part of the equation is the NOI number and then collections. So When we look at NOI, think back, it's revenue, and revenue is based on NRI, and NRI is based on rent and vacancies. Now, inside vacancies, we have bad debt, right? We write off tenants that haven't paid us. But there's another piece of that, and this is where it shows up, and that is tenants that we haven't written their rent off yet because we don't know that they're not going to pay, but they still owe us. So we might bill $100,000 in revenue at the beginning of the month. We bill that much in rent. And if 10% of our tenants are late, and by the middle to latter part of the month, they haven't paid, well, while we've got an NOI of maybe $50,000, we don't have $50,000 in cash. We're $10,000 short. So collections are an important part of how you drive cash. Collections are also part of that initial equation around security and stability. A secure, stable, healthy asset is going to have a reasonable level of collections, a reasonable amount of bad debt. It's going to have an economically viable, healthy tenant base. And again, those are all things we're going to talk about. Cash is going to be the last in this series that we dive into. And then there's one other item, and that is capital spending. Now, we have a plan for capital with every asset. We're going to go in and make improvements to so many units. We think we're going to do a certain amount of HVAC work. Maybe we identify some deferred maintenance, roofing, or something else. We're going to paint the property. We have capital set aside for all of that. Now, how well we perform, either hitting those numbers or overspending or underspending, that's an important part of cash because we can hit our NOI number, we can have healthy collections, but if we overspend on capital, we don't have the cash flow that we want. Conversely, if we hit those numbers or have opportunities to outperform, meaning spend less capital, we can improve our cash performance. So one of the takeaways from the cash section is while we don't want to be overly focused on the cash or equity portions of the return, again, we're looking for security and stability, how cash is performing is a healthy metric of how the overall system is performing. Because cash is a function of collections and how we're managing our capital plan and NOI. And NOI is a function of our revenues, which are really driven by NRI, which are rents and vacancy, and the other component of NOI being operating expense, which helps us really get our arms around what we're spending managing this property every month and how we can manage the growth of that over time. So that's a model that we think makes a lot of sense, looking at those three building blocks, looking at net rental income, net operating income, and cash. And not only do we think that's a great way to think about properties, that's actually one of the tools we've used in the latest evolution of reporting that we do to our clients. We're very big believers in transparency and very healthy, appropriately frequent communication. So our investors, our clients, receive monthly reports with a brief update on the health of properties. They receive a quarterly report that goes into much more detail. That quarterly report looks at net rental income. It looks at NOI. It looks at cash. Again, following the notion that those are three really foundational areas to focus on in terms of the overall health and success of the asset. We also have quarterly members-only webinars. So if you're an investor in one of our funds, you get an invite and participate in those. And if you aren't able to participate, you have access to recordings. And for those of you that potentially have interest in working with us, we'd be happy to share some of that data with you so you can understand what that looks like. And then we have an annual report along with tax returns and all sorts of other great things that are part of that communication process. Plus, availability of myself and Lauren and John, the decision makers. So if any of our members have a question about a decision we've made, we think it's appropriate that you ought to be able to talk to the person that made the decision. Others, especially of certain size, might have investor relations departments, and I'm sure they're filled with very well-intentioned folks. We specifically keep the size of our client base limited to a couple hundred folks because we can manage those kinds of relationships with those folks that way. So in the coming weeks, the next session we'll do is going to be on net rental income. Then we're going to do a session on net operating income, and then we're going to do a session on cash. And as I said, those will be spread out over some time. So they won't necessarily be back to back to back to back. But I would say over the next maybe 5 or 6 weeks, we'll get through all those. I hope this helped and made some sense to you, whether you're a passive investor or you're building your own portfolio. If you have questions, I'd be happy to answer them. You absolutely want to make sure that you check in each week as we go forward for when we'll be having these follow-up sessions in the series. If you do have any questions, pat@marapoling.com. And please join me next week for another episode of Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling.